Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. Join Dave and his guests now as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
From Los Angeles and New York City and Manhattan, a big L.A. and Big Apple, welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver at CaregiverDave.com, along with my lovely co-host, Adrian Gruberg, at thecaregiverspace.org. Say hello, Adrian.
Hello, Adrian.
We sure laugh a lot on this show, don't we?
We try. Okay,
as long as we laugh, as long as we laugh at each other's bad jokes, we're doing fine.
Well,
anyway, we are live and on demand 24/7 on 16 global and video platforms, you know, like iTunes and YouTube and Spreaker and SoundCloud and Vimeo and Stitcher and Blog Talk, Mixcloud, Listen Notes, Blueberry, Player FM, Podcast.com, VIP Internet, Radio, Facebook Live, HealthyLife.net. Of course, Facebook Live has a problem today. We're trying to get through it. And also at CaregiverDave.com, voted number two best podcast out of the top six caregiver podcasts by Caring.com. And we have an exciting show planned for you today. It's the Adrian and Dave show, the Dave and Adrian show. We're going to talk about us. We're going to talk about caregiving. We're going to talk about my new wisdom book that I'm writing here in Hawaii. I'm here for the whole month of February. Yes, don't feel sorry for me, but that's the only way I can do it without, distractions. And I have to write 100 chapters in 24 more days.
Don't make it sound like it's a ton.
I was going to say that they're very short chapters because they're based on my 5 minutes of Dave's Hammock Wisdom. So each chapter is only like 5 minutes worth of reading, which is a page and a half. So I know 100 chapters sounds so like, oh, my God, but it's not. But 100 chapters is pretty impressive, even if they're short chapters. So, and I'm going to try to have fun while I'm here as well, because my wife is with me, and she every now and then pulls me away from the computer and says, we're going to go look for shoes, or I want to eat out, or go get me a Mai Tai, or whatever, you know. So, balance. It's all about balance, isn't it? And I want to thank last week's guest, which was Dr. Daniel Vorobyov, the former medical oncology director at the Sandton Oncology Center in Johannesburg, South Africa. He completed his MD at the University of Cordoba, Argentina, and the Doctor of Medicine degree at the University of Pretoria, South Africa. Very smart guy. He spoke a lot. And we just like to have smart people on the show because it makes us look dumb. Oh, wait, I didn't say that right, did I?
No.
It makes our guests look smart. Okay, there we go. Anyway, excuse me for clearing my throat. I should mute myself, huh, when I do that. All right, post-production. Now, you can watch or listen to that interview and all our interviews on our website, membership website, caregiverdave.com, or any of the 16 global networks that I mentioned earlier. And I think that's enough of that. Let's get going. Adrian, how you doing over there in the Big Apple? I heard you were sick because the temperatures were too low.
Temperatures were very low. I was very well prepared for it as far as what I was wearing. Three layers of long underwear and down coats and three scarves, and it didn't matter. I just got a bad cold.
You are a true New Yorker. You know how to dress with three layers of stuff.
It was 30 below in Chicago.
I know. I heard about that.
So New York. It's just cool at 5 degrees compared to 30 below.
Well, you know, we brought our dog with us this time, and so that wasn't easy to do, by the way. You can't even bring an orange into Hawaii. Jackson, come here. Come here, let's show you all. Come on, come on.
So
and
can't,
it was a little cool. Come here. Come
flowers.
On up here. Come on. Up we go. Up we go. Ah! There we go. And he's got his little support vest on when I take him for a walk. Mm-hmm. Can you see him?
Yes.
And so I took him for a walk last night, and it was a little chilly. I needed a jacket. I think it was 76.
It was 42 Hawaii. In L.A. today. It was 42. Did you hear me?
42?
It was 42.
Is it like nighttime or daytime?
Daytime.
Oops. Daytime. Well, it must have been pouring rain then without the sun. Without the sun, it gets cool.
It was pouring rain.
I'm glad I'm not there. That's all I can say. So let's talk about my new book. What's it called? It's called Dave's Hammock Wisdom, based on my successful and popular video series. I can't believe in the last 18 months I've produced over 100 Dave's Hammock Wisdom videos, 5 minutes each. I try to keep them brief. Sometimes I go over 6 minutes, 7 minutes. Sometimes I do 3 minutes, but it averages out to 5 minutes. So some of the titles that I'd like to just talk about wisdom, because Adrian's a pretty wise lady too, aren't you, Adrian?
Absolutely. I hate to pat myself on the back, but yes.
It took her too long to answer. Did you hear all that silence after I asked the question? She goes, let me think. How should I answer that? So one of the chapters is called Take Time to Reflect on Life. Do you agree with that, Adrian, that caregivers or everybody, because this book is not just for caregivers, okay? We're expanding our audience now because I realize, you know, from laying on a hammock and I get all this wisdom, I solve the world's problems and my own, that I was being selfish. Yeah, wisdom
everybody,
is wisdom.
Yeah, everybody can relate to wisdom quotes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do I think that people should reflect? Are you asking me?
Reflect on their life. But you can't reflect on life. You know, you have to sit down, first of all, or lay down, or just go someplace out of your ordinary sphere of influence or your normal environment. You know, like go to the beach or go climb a mountain or go somewhere that's different. Lock yourself in the closet. I don't know. And just contemplate where it's quiet and you can hear. Yeah, lay in a hammock. Like I like to ride my bike. And when I did this particular video, I was riding my bike up my hill in Castaic Lake. And it's really pretty up there. And when I run out of road, it turns into a dirt road, and now I'm in the wilderness in the mountains, and I can't hear the freeway anymore, Interstate 5, because I can hear Interstate 5 from my home because I'm just up the hill from it. But when you're over there, it just becomes silent, you know, where you can take a little pin and you drop it on a rock, and you can hear it go, tink.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because now you can hear other sounds, you know, not just the roar of traffic. You can hear right. A bird. You can hear the wind waving through the trees. You can hear frogs, you know. If it's later at night, you can hear crickets. And in other words, you become one with nature, you know, and all of a sudden you can hear yourself breathing. And you have this revelation that you are breathing in this oxygen that the trees are giving you. And the reason they can give you that oxygen is because you're giving them the carbon dioxide that you breathed out from breathing in the oxygen. And then they take that carbon dioxide and they give you more oxygen. It's like the circle of life. What do you think of all of that? How poetic, huh?
Well, it is the circle of life.
It is the circle of life, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you get a chance to do that? Do you? I know you're stuck in Manhattan in your little apartment there.
Can hear a pin drop in my apartment. You can.
Really?
Yes, you can.
Because the walls are so thick and the windows are double insulated?
Double insulated.
Double.
Yeah, double insulated.
In California, we have a place called what's it called? Burger place. In-N-Out Burger. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes.
Probably not. Have
I
you?
have heard of
And they have their famous double double. So
it.
when I hear double double, I immediately think of an In-N-Out Burger. But so how often do you get to like contemplate on life and just meditate or pray or just think about being one with nature and get epiphanies and wisdom?
All the time. I'm
So
serious.
there are times that you do, and there's
You know,
times that you don't. I mean, it's not just all the time, right?
there are times I need to focus on something else, but I mean, I'm sort of free floating, reflecting all the time. That's
You're
just who I
free
am.
spirit.
Yeah.
So how do you do it? Let's say you're feeling the need to meditate and to connect with nature and wisdom. What do you do? What's your
Well,
MO?
if like right now I'm you know going through a move and selling my apartment, so I've got a lot on my mind. And if I need to stop the worrying in my head, and I can't do it by myself, then I will turn on a guided meditation or the sound of a waterfall or birds in the forest or any of that. I've got a couple of apps that have guided meditations. But usually I can just do it on my own. It's because I've been doing it for years. It's just when I'm on overload, I need a little help, and I don't feel guilty about that. Because
But
I just want to.
you do that in your apartment, right?
Oh yeah.
Do you ever get out into nature, like at Central Park or Greenwich Village? I know
Well,
you. What's that park right by your house?
I have Madison Square Park right near my house, which is where the
Yeah.
Statue of Liberty was assembled. Part of it, at the
Really?
top part of the Statue of Liberty was assembled there.
Oh, did you get a picture of that?
I don't know. I've seen pictures of it. It was really quite something. There was something called the Crystal Palace in Madison Square Park after the Statue of Liberty. It's gone through so many different purposes. It's been repurposed so many different times.
Now, Madison Square Park is not next to Madison Square Garden, is it?
No, it's not.
I didn't think so.
But it met Madison, the first Madison Square Garden was not where the new Madison Square Garden is either. And the
Oh, they
new
moved
Madison
it.
Square Garden is already old. So I remember when I was a kid going to the original Madison Square Garden to see the Roy Rogers Rodeo
Oh, wow.
and the circus, and there was nothing like it. You know, the old boxing
Yeah.
movies will show you the old Madison Square Garden. But I go to Madison Square Park, I can go to Union Square, or I can go to Washington Square, but I don't get to Central Park too much. Maybe once I
But
move,
people are part
I don't
of
know.
the nature. People are part of the nature when you go to the park, aren't they? You know, you sit and you watch
Absolutely.
the person juggling those pins. I think I've seen him there at Madison Square Park, and everyone's just doing something, you know, and they're playing games, they're blowing up balloons, or you got little kids who are just, you know, having fun being a little kid. It's really therapeutic to sit in the park and just watch all the people. You know, Chicago sang this song one time in the 70s, Saturday in the Park. It was a great
All
song.
right. There are times I'll sit and observe people and write about them while I'm observing them. That really takes me
Oh.
very much out of myself. You know, like watch the conversation, not listen to them, but just this really in detail describe what they're wearing, how they're relating, what their hands are doing, what kind of shoes they're wearing. Just like it takes me out of myself for a while. But if I'm trying to meditate to just clear my head, that's a different kind of meditation. I do that best in Fire Island, probably. In my hammock.
You got to take me to Fire Island sometime. It sounds like a nice place.
It's very special.
Next time I'm there. So let's talk about another chapter in my book. I'm going to be there like the end of May and the beginning of June.
Oh, Fire Island season.
Oh, good. So another chapter that I'm writing is called "Is Your GPS Broken?" Now that's a curious title, but I tell where I was when I was making these. I was actually driving in my car, and I was going to a speaking event on I-405, which everyone in California knows the 405 because it's like the parking lot of California.
They did this
2 or 3 year project where they made it just huge. They widened it, they cut into the mountain, and they tore down bridges and rebuilt them. And I mean, you're going down I-405 and you can just count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's like 10, 11, 12 lanes sometimes.
Lanes,
you know, just all across. And there's still traffic.
Yes. Because it doesn't stay 10 lanes where you get off. You know, it eventually funnels into something smaller than that. So,
well, but it's more than four lanes each. It's usually six lanes, 5 to 6 lanes now going in each direction. And when they were building it, they called it it was a synonym of Armageddon. What'd they call it? Something-ageddon. And everybody just stayed home, and it was just beautiful. You know, it was like California in the 60s, because we were here in the 60s, and California was a wonderful place, you know. There was no traffic, and people were nice, and it was just a great place to go. So I've got my GPS going, and it's telling me, you know, where to go. So I figured, you know, is your GPS broken? Is the GPS of your heart, of your mind broken? You know, we talk about using our gut. You know, we're in a business decision. You know, you're about to sign up. Or any kind of decision, and your head says to do this, but your gut says, "Oh, I don't know. You know, I don't know if I can do that or not." And so I talk about, you know, this decision that I made to invest in Nashville real estate back in 2007, just before the 2008 meltdown. And my wife didn't feel comfortable about it, you know. And I said, oh, it's fine. You know, I've got these professional real estate people telling me what to do. They've been doing it for years. And she went along with me, but she just like, you know, I don't know, but okay, if you know best. And I sure wish I would have listened to her, because it was a fiasco. You know, it cost me my life savings, and creditors coming after me, and defaulting on
a lot of money.
Yeah, I just was invested in all the wrong things. You know, but by the grace of God, I'm totally recovered now in 10 years. The credit's good again, and I'm totally out of debt, and I will stay out of debt. And God has kind of restored everything that I've lost, and that's a miracle as far as I'm concerned, because I know a lot of people smarter than me, brighter than me, holier than me, who are still
suffering from
that time. And, you know, why me? It's like two guys go to Vietnam, one comes home, the other one dies. And he says, you know, well, why me? Why am I the one that came home? And he's much better than me. You know, he had a greater life than me. Why didn't he come home and I die? And you know, you just can't question things like that. It's just fate, and it's You know, you're here for a purpose, so make the most of your life and so on.
So what does this have to do with your internal GPS?
Because that gut feeling, that intuition, that stuff that women seem to have more of than men, you know. So any of you guys out there who have an intuitive wife, which you probably all do, listen to her, you know. And so while I'm doing this show, the GPS says, you missed your turn. And I said, well, see there? How many times do we get distracted and we can't hear the GPS? We can't hear our gut because we're distracted by other things. And now I got to make a U-turn and come back because I wasn't listening to that still small voice in my head or in my heart or in my gut that told me, no, go this way. You know, the world will tell you to go this way. Now, you're not going to like this example, Adrian, but I've got to say it because it proves a point. Donald Trump, love him or hate him, everyone who's closest to him will swear that his instincts, they would never bet against Donald Trump's instincts. And the reason is, I mean, look at it. Ever since his bankruptcies in the 80s, where he negotiated all of this debt that the banks, he owed so much money to the banks that they would all go under together if he defaulted on it. And so he negotiated like the sweetest heart deal, and everything worked out. And now he's much stronger. He decides to run for president, even though everyone said it was a stupid idea. His own senior attorney said, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard you say, Donald. He said, well, I'm going to do it anyway.
He hates the job.
Well, I don't know. I think he thrives with it. Anyway, he beat 16 Republican primary candidates. Nobody, love him or hate him, I'm just telling you, he trusted his instincts.
Well,
he got rid of them all. He beat Hillary, who was expected to win. Nobody guessed this. When someone would say, well, Donald Trump, they would laugh. Ha, 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 come on, you're crazy.
No, but this isn't political. What I'm going to say has to do with what you said about his recovering from bankruptcy and the deals that he made with the banks. Effed over everybody.
Can't find the word.
Yeah, I mean, everyone, and it's the Russians. The Arabs have put money into his businesses, and that's what has saved him. Not because he made sweetheart deals with the banks, because he still doesn't have the kind of money that you think he has. He has a very small family business, basically, as far as the number of employees.
Well, I think the number was 10 billion, and maybe 10 billion is probably chump change to Bill Gates or Warren. Does anybody need more than 1 billion? I mean, I would be happy with a billion or 100 million. How do you go through $100 million in your lifetime? You know what I mean? But then later on, he's dealing with China. He's negotiating with China, North Korea, and the North American. I mean, everyone says, no, 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 you can't do that, you know, but they blinked first.
And look at how wonderful his deal with Korea has been. Give it a rest.
It's not over yet. But that's enough of Donald Trump.
Close.
My point is about instinct and gut. What did you say?
Remember, I knew this man in 1979. I started.
Yes, and I remember every woman wanted to be his wife, and he had women all over, and the media just fawned over him. He was a great story.
Tell them that. He had press people telling
him
that.
I just told you what I saw on TV.
No, yeah. Well, don't believe everything you watch.
So
I mean, I've seen a lot of really ugly little tiny men with big wallets, you know, who have married 6 foot tall runway models, you know, and it's, you know, money talks, nobody walks.
Yeah. Well, he's certainly not much to look at today, but you know, when he was younger, he was a good-looking guy, and every woman, you know, apparently wanted to be with him, marry him, spend his money, whatever. So let's get on to the next chapter, because I think we exhausted that one. Really? You don't think he had a long line of women who wanted to marry him and be a part of that lifestyle?
No.
But we can agree to disagree.
Yes, of course
I'm just talking. Yeah. Okay, exercise, not just your body. That's another chapter title. And what does that mean? Well, you know, there's five aspects to our bodies. There's, or to our souls, you know, our spirit, the body, the mind, the spirit, the emotions, and the finances. And so I talk about in this chapter, how do you exercise? We know how to exercise your body, you know, get on a bike, go swimming, you know, go running. If you can't run, you know, walk. If you can't walk, well, get on a bicycle or whatever. But swimming is the best exercise because they say it moves every single muscle and joint of your body. And I hate to swim, but I do it because...
With less
impact. Zero gravity, you know, it's like being in space. And so I do it just because I can't do anything else. I can't run anymore. I can't walk very far anymore. You know, I get around the airports and the travel, and I'm thankful for that. But, you know, I have my limits. If I walk too much, I've got to sit down, you know, and I've got to but I certainly can walk.
Your back?
Because I have arthritis. No, the back is healed. But I had an MRI on my feet because it's my feet that hurt. My left foot hurts on the top where the toes, the metatarsal bones are. They say it's riddled with arthritis. And my right heel hurts because that's where I broke my ankle when the car hit me and I went flying through the air on my bicycle and, you know, it didn't heal right. So every now and then I get an injection and it helps a little bit, but it just hurts. And so I have a limit. I can't walk when my back was out, I couldn't walk or stand for 5 minutes, but I'm thankful that that's healed because I couldn't be on these book tours if that wasn't the case. So I'm very thankful. So how do you exercise your emotions? I talk about, well, if you're a guy, watch a chick flick with your wife, you know. Watch, what's that movie with James Garner about dementia? It's The Notebook, right? I don't know how anybody can watch The Notebook and not be bawling at the end of it, whether you're a guy or a football player or whatever.
I'm not saying that that's not emotional exercise, but there's got to be more to it than just watching something that makes you cry.
Well, there are some ideas of how we can exercise. Give me some ideas of how we can exercise our emotions. What does that mean to you?
Well, I think you have to exercise to be happy too. You can watch if reading, you know, reading enlightening material makes you question how you're feeling, and emotions can grow from, you know, like if you're reading Buddhism and Thich Nhat Hanh or something like that, you reflect, and that brings up new emotions within you. You realize different things about yourself, and I think that's an emotional exercise. Watching comedies and laughing. Listening to comedy albums used to be the way we did it, but you can watch movies that are funny and make you laugh.
Yeah, we can't listen to Bill Cosby anymore.
No, we can't.
So you're talking about Buddha, so that means I can read the Bible, and that would also
of course
exercise my emotions. I never thought
absolutely
of it that way. Interesting. I might add that to my book. Well, before we take another chapter, let's take a break. So we'll be right back.
Welcome, caregivers. Thank you so much for finding your way to our community of loving and supportive caregivers. We as caregivers understand and know the day-to-day feelings of guilt, fear, and loneliness. But guess what? There is hope. I, Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, along with my team of experts and caring caregivers, have made this site just for you. We are a community of caregivers that understands and supports you wherever you are in your journey. We are a place to connect with other caregivers, but more importantly, a place to get practical, actionable help. There are lots of ways for you to get support. First of all, you can download our welcome pack. This will get you started on your Thrive journey. Next, you can ask and get answers to your questions by posting them here in our private Facebook groups. You can also get live online support by attending one of our live weekly Connect webinars. You can get practical, actionable advice by listening to our weekly podcast. You can hear and read other stories about other caregivers' experiences. Plus, add your own in our weekly Share Your Story forum, posted every Tuesday in the Facebook group. You can access essential resources and download practical Thrive Solutions packs, all of which are geared to help you thrive as a caregiver. We know funds are tight, so we offer all of our individual Thrive Solutions packs. Or for even a better deal, you can get lifetime access to all of our resources. Again, we are here to support you and help you thrive and to enjoy your life as a caregiver. Before this video ends, download our free welcome pack below. And remember, this is a place to get hope, not just cope.
And we're back with Adrian Gruberg and me, Dave Nassani, on the Caregiver Dave Show. Dave, the caregiver's caregiver. And we're talking about caregiving and our new book. Our new book. Is that your... I'm just so used to doing everything with Adrian, I just assumed that we wrote this book together. But no, it's my book. We're still waiting for Adrian to write a book. We're still waiting for Adrian. Last time I spoke to her, she says, what did you say? Everybody doesn't have to write a book. I think that's what you said, right?
No, that is very much my belief. I mean,
you shouldn't write a book just for the sake of writing a book, you know.
No, your books have not all been instructional manuals on things to do as a caregiver. There are so many of those around, you know, that it's ridiculous. So
and there, a lot of them were boring.
They're very different.
Yeah, a show has to be not only informative and educational, it has to be entertaining. You know, I listen to a lot of, I'm not criticizing other caregivers because God bless them. Anyone who's helping caregivers, God bless them. And I'm thankful for them. But a lot of caregiver podcasts out there, I tried listening to them and they're just so dry and boring and it's just facts, 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 facts. You know, I mean, it's great to get the facts, but you've got to be entertaining too. And that's why I like this show. And that's probably why we're number two, because we try to be entertaining. You know, we try to be like Kelly and Ryan, you know, had some fun, because people just don't want facts. You've got to entertain and educate, because that's how you keep their attention. That's how you keep them wanting to come back for more. It's, you know, I really like those guys. I feel special when I listen to them and stuff like that. So I appreciate, I've told you this many, many times, and I'll tell you again in public, I appreciate you so much, Adrian, for taking your time, because I know you're very busy, and just doing this every week, because that's not an easy commitment to commit to an hour a week, because nobody has time to do anything, you know, and so you have carved out an hour a week for me and for caregivers, and I'm grateful and I thank you for that. Now let's get back to my I think I called another chapter.
What are we
unplug you? We're done with the addiction, so that was. I mean, sorry, we're done with the GPS. So now we're going to talk about unplug your addictions. So what has that got to talk about? Some of these, I'm trying to remember where I went with them. On the addictions, we're talking about. Oh, I know what it was. I was noticing that I was starting to get lazy. Do you ever get lazy, Adrian?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so I'm a hard worker, and I do a lot of things, and I'm very productive. I get a lot done. I run a gas station. My wife's a caregiver. I write books. I speak. I go on television. So, I mean, people don't normally think of the word lazy when they think of me.
No.
You know, a lot of people just say, oh, my God, I wish I was you. You know, you're so but
no,
I'm
I think
make
you're
a
confession. Industrious. Did you hear what I said? Industrious.
No. Oh, industrious.
Industrious.
You get a lot done. That's a capitalistic term. Thank you.
You get a lot done.
So I'm going to confess and expose, you know, the wizard behind the curtain here and tell you that there was a time just very recently that and it's not just this one time. Every now and then I find myself slipping into laziness. And here's how it translated itself this last time. I became addicted to the news, and I'm sure a lot of people did, you know, during this political session, because I felt like I had to watch the news in the morning. I had to watch the news when I came home, and I would find myself, you know, just sitting there. I look up at the clock. I said, "Oh my God, I've been watching this stupid show for 3 hours." And when I get tired of watching it, I'll start flipping the channels, start surfing, and I'll watch some great shows like Deal or No Deal or Shark Tank. I could watch Shark Tank literally from day till nighttime. And my wife is laughing because she agrees. It's the only show that her and I can actually watch together and not, you know, complain that are we gonna still watch this, because we could, you know, you just can't get enough of it. The only problem is I've seen so many that you see the reruns now. It's like Seinfeld. I used to watch Seinfeld all the time, and I've seen that one 30 times. I'm not gonna watch it again or whatever.
Seinfeld forever. Over and over.
So that's my problem. So I'm this happened about 2 months ago, and I'm in my beautiful TV room. You know, I've got this big screen. It's not huge. It's just a big screen. I don't know how big it is. It's maybe 50 inches.
We don't need to know.
Oh, yeah. Too much information. And I'm just saying, I got to stop doing this. I'm wasting time. There are so many things I should be doing right now, and I'm glued to this couch. I'm becoming a couch potato, and I'm sick of it. And I just didn't have the discipline to turn the TV off. So I forced myself to go and reach under the cabinet of the TV, find the HTML cable, and I pull that sucker out, and the TV went black.
Wow.
And I says, oh, I felt like Mel Gibson on Braveheart. I'm free! I just felt free. Freedom. And I got up. And I started doing other things because I knew that's what I had to do. I couldn't just turn it off or unplug it because it's too easy to plug it back in. I had to reach up there because it's dark up there. It's easy to pull out, but it's really hard to get back in. I got to get down on my back. I got to stick my head in this little hole with a flashlight and then, you know, do all of that stuff. And apparently I'm too lazy to do that. So I'm using the lazy trait in me to my benefit, right? It's like when I can't sleep or I have insomnia, which doesn't happen often, I will pick up the Bible and I'll start reading it because I say, well, I'm going to use the devil to put me to sleep because I know he doesn't want me to read the Bible. So he'll just say, okay, put that guy to sleep. We don't need him reading the Bible. Funny story, but so I talk about other addictions. So what are you guys addicted to? Are you addicted to porn? Are you addicted to, you know, gambling? Are you addicted to, you know, eating a gallon of ice cream in the middle of the night? Whatever it is, take drastic measures to stop it. Do something drastic like I did. And so let's talk about your addiction since I've just exposed my naked self to the world. Adrian, what do you find yourself occasionally addicted to, and what do you do to get out of that laziness thing?
The news and old movies.
So I'm not the only one. Wow.
And old movies. On Saturday morning, during the week, I'll wake up and put the news on. It's a terrible way to start the day.
It's depressing, isn't it? I know.
It's a terrible way to start the day. Saturdays.
Whether you're conservative or liberal,
right.
Progressive, it's
you
depressing.
You find whatever you want. You find what you want. And I made up my mind that on Saturdays, I was not going to do that. So I turned on Turner Classic Movies instead, you know, deliberately, very deliberately, just to watch some stupid black and white Tarzan thing, you know, and
or Humphrey Bogart and
not that, not that? Early in the morning on Saturdays. Early in the morning on Saturdays, you've got things like things that were serialized, or sometimes they're Western, sometimes they're really, really bad detective stories. But they're
watch fun. Anyway.
George Sanders and the Saint. They find the Thin Man is usually on after, but they go with series.
Yeah. I used to like that. Yeah,
I love the Thin Man. So anyway, I find a lot of people addicted to Facebook, Twitter. They can't put their phones down. I look on the bus, on the subway. No one is reading a newspaper or a book anymore. Everyone is glued to their telephones. Everyone's wearing headsets, you know, earphones. No one is present. No one is in the moment. They're all doing other stuff. And being aware of that has put me more in touch with the fact that just turn it off. Turn it off.
Yeah.
Easy to turn off.
So yeah, don't pay your internet bill. It'll go off.
Yeah. See, in my I don't know how many televisions you have.
We're only down to two, one in the bedroom and one in the TV room. So obviously my wife keeps hers on, and every now and then I'll just go in there and watch, you know, 10 minutes of the news. But it's not like it used to be, you know, because it's her TV, and she says, okay, that's enough. Turn it off. And I got it because it's her
really
TV.
It really is, you know, a hard habit to break right now. I mean, And you and I are not alone.
State of the Union's tonight, and some Democrats aren't even going to go. And it's like, wow, really?
Well, I'm not tonight, because it was supposed to be last week, and now it's tonight. I have a meeting tonight that was scheduled like 6 months ago.
But no worry, you can watch anything late these days, even the Super Bowl.
I'm just recording it, so I'll watch it when I get home. I mean, I want to see what he says, and I want to hear the commentary and the response, whatever. But I'm not going to stay home and avoid this other appointment.
No, you should never stay home for a television thing, because you know, you can watch it at your convenience. So let's talk about another one. Okay, so I was in Philadelphia because I had my why was I there? Come on, brain, work. I had my TED talk at Wilmington, Delaware. I didn't even know where Wilmington, Delaware was. We have a Wilmington, California. When I first signed up, application. Yeah, and so when I was accepted, they said it was in Wilmington. I says, "Cool, that's like, you know, 45 right minutes away from me, Wilmington, Los Angeles." And when I discovered that it was Wilmington, Delaware, I mean, it's the furthest on the other side of the country that you could go. I said, oh, my gosh. I said, what? You know, it was a prestigious thing to do, so I didn't complain. I said, okay. You know, while I'm there, I can visit Philly. I always wanted to go to Philadelphia and get a cheesesteak sandwich and take my picture in front of the Rocky statue. You know, can you believe it that they made a statue of a fictional person? You know, and I want to run up the stairs that he did at the library.
I think it's iconic.
It is iconic.
It's so iconic in the movie that they did the statue.
Yeah, and Rocky Balboa is one of the most successful franchises in history, you know, one of them. And, you know, Sylvester Stallone's a pretty smart cookie, and God bless him. Now, so I call this video, Be More Like Rocky Balboa. So while I was there, you know, right after my speech, I on my way home, because they don't have an airport in Wilmington, Delaware, you got to fly into Philadelphia. So the first thing I did was get the Philly cheesesteak sandwich, and it was delicious.
I
have to go to Venice Beach, California, which is near Marina Del Rey, and there's a place called the Great Western Steak and Hoagie Company. I'm giving them a free plug. And they've been... the first time I went there, my girlfriend told me about this place when I was 20 years old. That's how long it's been in business. It's just a little hole in the wall in a bad part of town. And they had something called a pizza steak sandwich, which is a Philly cheesesteak, but they'll put pizza sauce on it. They call it a pizza steak. Oh, it's delicious, especially if you like pizza. So, but they got a big sign on there, and it's a riot. And it says, 3,000 miles to Philadelphia, eat here. So, like I said, I always wanted to go there. So I had the sandwich, and then I went to the Rocky statue. I said, take me to the Rocky statue. And I discovered that I wasn't the only one who wanted a picture with Rocky. I had to wait in line for 20 minutes to take a picture with the Rocky Balboa statue.
People just wanted to run up the steps. People were just running up the steps, mimicking
that too, because it's right next to the statue. So I went to the steps and I looked and I said, "Oh my God, there must have been 100 steps or more." I mean, it just seemed like it just kept going on and on and on, and my ankle was bothering me that day. And I says, "I don't think I'm gonna. Maybe next time." But I took a picture of the steps anyway. I took a picture of the statue. But, you know, let's talk about Rocky for a moment. What were the odds against this 40-year-old guy or 45, however old he was in the movie?
The first one he was young.
The first one he was young, but then they kept doing the sequels, and I think he was 45 or so in the final one.
Right.
Where he was doing Creed and Creed 2 and Son of Creed and all of this stuff.
He's also coaching
and so,
at that point.
Yeah.
He was.
But, you know, the underdog. Everybody loves the underdog, you know. And I guess Trump was the underdog. You know, everybody loves the underdog. And so never give up. You know, whatever your dream is. I know Rocky is a fictional story, but, man, people could just really relate to it because there are probably thousands of Rocky stories out there that we don't hear about. And so be more like Rocky Balboa, you know, reach for that golden ring on the merry-go-round. You know, I did it. I mean, I can't believe that in 18 months, you know, I'm this celebrity, and it's all started because I had to make one decision. Do I want to hook up with this guy who claims he can get me to Harvard, you know, and I didn't have the money. I didn't want to leave my wife alone while I flew to Boston, and I talked it over with her, and she says, go. And I was hoping she would say, no, you can't do that. But she's, you know, because I was being cheap, and I was being fearful, and, you know, who am I to speak at Harvard, you know? And I'd never spoken on a stage before, so I had a lot of insecurities, a lot of fears about that. But I did
it's feel the fear and do it anyway.
Fear of success. Fear of failure, fear of success.
And do it anyway.
And I'm so glad I did it. I'm a different person today, and now I feel like nothing can make me fearful. I spoke at Harvard. What can be harder than that? I spoke in the Shark Tank in Hawaii during my speaker training. They lowered us in this cage, and sharks were this far away from me. You know, all they had to do, they're, thank God they're stupid, all they had to do was turn their head this way, and they could have like they could have reached in, you know, but they're not stupid. And I could see, you know, when they're mating, the male will bite the female's back, and they were all scarred, and some of the female's torsos were even bitten off. And it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And while we were down there, we had to speak to the sharks. We had to do our speech that we were rehearsing. And I says, how can I talk? Water will get in my mouth. He says, no, you got to snorkel. Just do it. You know, and so I did it, and no water got in my mouth. But
I spoke
to the sharks underwater, and I spoke at Harvard. So it's like his main purpose was to remove all fear. And even when I had this offer to speak at a for a keynote speaker, and I said to him, well, how much should I charge? And I won't tell you the amount, but he gave me this number. And I says, oh,
yeah.
He says, that's too much. And he says, hey, if you don't charge that much, you probably really suck. And I thought about it, and I says, that's true, you know, because I look at my resume, and it's like I spoke at all these places. Yeah, if I'm not charging this much, I must really suck. And so something broke in my brain to just get over the fear and say, you know, I'm worth it. I can do it.
Ask for it.
It's got to happen up here first before it ever happens. You know, the world will say, show me and I'll believe it. But the Bible says, and other people say who are there, no, believe it and then you'll see it. So that's why I say be more like Rocky Balboa. Have you been keeping track of the time? Are we like up to about an hour on the
Almost.
Show? I know it's hard to calculate. We'll go for another
Almost.
10 minutes maybe, okay?
What was I going to ask? I was going to ask you a specific question. You'll edit this out, please.
Was it about Rocky? Was it about
it's about what you're wearing on your wrist. Circle
oh,
up
this one here?
And separated, and what do they
mean? How did you know that? Can you read that from there?
The expression in Yiddish, when you're praying, you go back and forth like this. And that's what you've been doing.
Do I do that?
No, it's called davening.
Well, that has nothing to do with prayer. But yes, I do see Jewish people do that. I love rocking chairs, and even if I'm not in a rocking chair, I'm like rocking. And even they say when I was even a little boy that I used to do that back and forth in a chair. So habits are hard to break, I guess. I saw this documentary for triplets that were separated at birth. Oh, so
tell me what it means.
Well, I have a men's group at my church, so you know, one of them says circle up, which I think means, you know, after the meeting, we all circle up and they call them circles. Yeah,
yeah,
we talk and we pray for each other. And a guy is more likely to bare his soul to a small group of three or four or five than to a big room. Yeah, prayer circles. And then the other one says separated. And that just reminds me that I'm separated from the world. I think there's a Bible verse that says, you know, you are in the world, but you're not part of the world. Because, you know, basically the world is kind of evil. You know, this is just the devil's playground here. And there's corruption everywhere. And there's, you know, it's only because of the sprinkling like salt of the good people on the earth why this earth still, you know. And, of course, the Bible talks about in the last days in the book of Revelation that God's just going to take out all of the good people. And that all hell is going to break loose. And then, you talk about
Armageddon
and the Antichrist and all of that stuff. And so think about it. If the world was suddenly removed of all of the good people, you know, all of the people that are honest and you know, don't cheat and don't lie and think about it. Only evil people would be left. It would be just like you're living in Sodom and Gomorrah, you know? And that wasn't a very good place to be. God had to rain fire down on heaven for those people.
I mean, I try and surround myself with the people that would be plucked out. I mean, I'm so particular with at this point in my life. I have no room in my life for those others that would remain here.
You know, same thing happened with Charlene and her mother. She kept accusing Charlene of stealing her photos, you know.
Yeah.
And she had dementia. She recently died, by the way, just a few days ago.
I didn't know that.
Just before we left on the trip. Well, no, it's a blessing because she was torturing herself.
I mean,
as you know.
Of course. I understand both sides of it.
We were praying that God would take her because she's just tortured.
She was suffering.
And so, but you know, 10 years ago, I told her, listen, doesn't have your photos. And so, and who knows, maybe this was part of the dementia even 10 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
And I says, if you continue to make this an issue, you're going to damage the relationship, and we don't want, we're going to stop talking. I will protect her from you. And she wouldn't stop. And so I says, that's it. And we stopped talking to her. We stopped communicating. We didn't speak for 3 years to this woman.
Wow.
Because she thought that her photos were more important than the relationship with her daughter, which is insane, you know. But you got to do what you have to do to protect yourself, you know. And so I would encourage anyone out there, if you're in a toxic relationship, I don't care if it's your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your rabbi, your priest, whoever it is, end it, you know, unless they can honor your boundaries.
I will say you have to learn how to set those boundaries because my mother and I
in advance, yes.
My mother and I had a very toxic relationship. And when my father passed away, I told him, don't worry, I will be there to take care of her so that he could die peacefully. And I meant it when I said it. It was a promise that I made to him. But I also, when I started the long distance caregiving and going down to Florida once a month for a week, and this was for a few years, I let her know what was what. You know, you can't say this, you can't say this, you can't say this, or you won't see me, you know. And then
good,
you know, and it worked.
Well, how did she
and then,
handle that? So it worked. She was smart enough
it.
To say okay.
Yeah, because she knew that
Arlene's mother wasn't very smart.
Well, you were close enough that you could have gotten in the car and gone. She knew that. She knew that. I mean, like, I was in New York and my mother was in Florida, so she couldn't just snap her fingers and have me appear like Jeannie, you know. So
she never apologized anyway. For that, but you know, some people have a funny way of apologizing, and if we can interpret that as an apology, then I accepted it, and so. We did speak for the last several years. Obviously, we visited her. I visited her many times. It was hard for Charlene because she would still, they would rub each other the wrong way. In fact, they had a big knockdown, drag out argument about 4 months ago. And but you know, what are you gonna do? Because Charlene is disabled, she can't communicate, and her mother has dementia. And so it was like a recipe for disaster. So how do we get a hold of Adrienne Gruberg?
If I don't know by now. Adrienne.
Well, we always have new listeners, you know.
Adrienne, Adrienne, at thecaregiverspace.org. And thecaregiverspace.org is the website. And if you go there, you'll find all the social links. And we've got lots of groups on Facebook. And it's a good place to be.
It is. I've been there, and she's telling the truth, folks. You want to find out what I have on caregiverdave.com, go there. You can get a free, two free gifts, my first book about overcoming unbelievable hardships and a burnout quiz. If there's any doubt that you're a candidate for burnout, we will make it clear to you if you are or if you aren't. But also, we have a membership website there. If you are interested in investing in yourself for a small one-time fee for the rest of your life, you get all of our content, years and years and years of content, videos, my 5 minutes of Dave's hammock wisdom videos, over 100 of them. I'm writing this book based on that. All right. God bless. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program with Dave Nassani.